continue to be in prayer in regard to our nation, our president, our military leaders. And we are in the midst of studying the seven-headed dragon of the soul. And we have studied fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, and now we come to the fourth head of the seven-headed dragon. And tonight we're going to be looking at something that a lot of Christians carry in their soul: hatred, and how it relates to stress, anxiety, depression. And so let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to our study, that the Spirit can open our eyes and ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear in this study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many Christians in America and the world today that experience aspects of stress and depression. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry of taking care of it with drugs and all forms of human solutions, Christian counseling, so many things that Christians buy into. So I pray, Father, that these tapes and this study will get to those who want to find their solution in what You have provided. Father, we pray Your Spirit will lead us tonight in this study, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, one night only on hatred, so let's get moving. I have a lot of ground to cover, and I do want to cover it in one lesson. No carryovers to next week. So we are at the seven-headed dragon, or the stronghold of hatred in the soul. Anger, bitterness, not properly taken care of, often leads to hate. As we will see, hatred is a... Now listen to this. Hatred appears to be, from Scripture, a characteristic problem between Christians. Christians characteristically hate one another. The very thing that we should not be doing, characteristically, Christians will become angry and hate toward one another. Now, why? Why do Christians hate one another? Fundamentally, we're not going to be able to have time to go through all the reasons why hate, and this will touch some of these things, but fundamentally, because most Christians live under Satan's lie. And when others fail to perform according to what you have set up, hatred sets in. And remember again Satan's lie: my self-worth is made up of my performance and others' opinion of me. And when I fail, we hate one another. When they fail, we hate them. All these things start piling up inside of the soul. Most believers, especially those who are self-righteous, are in denial about hatred. Why? Because it sounds so bad, and it is. They know when they should not hate. You know you shouldn't hate someone, so we deny it. And this is exactly the problem that John deals with in the first epistle, 1 John. Believers in denial, they sin, that they hate, because we're told by God that we're not to hate, and we think of hate as so bad, so we want to deny that we hate. And this is what 1 John 1:9 and all this is all about. They have characteristically hatred throughout the epistle of John. Hatred is a sin, so they deny they hate. And many Christians do this. Oh, they call it by other names. So we need to explore this mindset of hatred. But again, our emphasis is the stronghold of hate and how it's related to stress, anxiety, and depression in the soul. As believers continue to get worse and worse, and their anger turns to hate, the stress, anxiety, depression starts swelling up in the soul, and people, you're in a red zone of danger. Now, we're not going to have time to spend an exhaustive amount of time on this head of the seven-headed dragon, or the stronghold of the soul. Just to note some of the wear that it has on our spiritual lives and how it contributes to stress, anxiety, and depression. Hatred is another part of the immune system of the flesh self. People, if you are in hatred and you're honest enough with yourself, whether you're honest to anyone else, you're honest enough to yourself to acknowledge that you hate somebody, you know that you're in the flesh, because that's what the flesh does to protect itself. Hatred is just a part of the immune system of the flesh. Now, the best place to understand hatred in an isolated place that we can go to and look and learn about this is in the Epistle of 1 John. We're going to limit primarily our study primarily to 1 John. Please turn to 1 John, the first epistle of John. And we're going to look at chapter 2, 1 John 2. Get right to the text on this one, because this is where we're going to build our whole study of the stronghold of hatred out of 1 John. This is a powerful study. Okay, the one. People, this is a believer. So we're dealing with believers. John is not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about a believer. The one who says, and we have seen now in James and John and other passages, that we could, the proper understanding of the word to say is to claim. The one who claims. All people, if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, depression in your life, stop making claims that are not true about your soul. Stop it. Start with being honest, at least to yourself. You know that you're experiencing SAD. And as soon as you stop denying it and start acknowledging it, you've made the first big step toward recovery from SAD, a first step in allowing the power of the Holy Spirit of God to tear down the strongholds of the soul. That's the first step. If you're in denial, you're not going to allow the Holy Spirit to tear down that stronghold. Be sure that you are aware that of the fact that this is only the first step in tearing down, allowing His power to tear down the stronghold. It's not the cure, but acknowledgement starts it. It is not the cure, but it starts it. Let you know you're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit to tear down the stronghold. The one who claims he is in the light. The one who claims he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. So we're dealing with believers. It's a characteristic problem, people. It's a hazard of being a Christian. You might be surprised about that, but all through church age and today, Christians develop a hatred toward those right in their own assembly. I've seen this in the church I grew up in as a young boy, a child, and grew up in, and later life, and our church. I've seen Christians hate other Christians. See those words. Let's take a look at it now. The one who claims he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. People, if you're suffering tonight from stress, anxiety, these things, depression, note those two words, light and darkness. There's your soul. There's your soul. Let's concentrate on them before we even look at the head of the hatred. Light versus darkness. This has been going on from Genesis, the first deal of Genesis, first chapters of Genesis, and here we have it about your soul. Light versus darkness is the difference in your life with or without SAD. Right here it is. Light and darkness in your soul. Light is a beautiful picture of your life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. Almost everyone likes a beautiful sunny day. Almost everyone does. You even feel better. And this is true about your soul. This is true about your soul. People throw open the windows on a beautiful sunny day, go outside, leave work early, don't go, whatever. People, think about this spiritually in your own soul. This is true in your soul, inside you. And if the darkness of SAD dwells, we're going to have to turn on the light, tear down the strongholds in the soul, so that you can experience some happiness and some light. So we're going to have to tear down the strongholds in the soul so we can turn on the light and reveal Satan's lie. Get out from underneath it and stop being enslaved to it. Now, two simple things about the light in 1 John. Two simple things. We're not going to build a whole lot because we want to stay with our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. Two simple things about light in 1 John here. One, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are permanently in the light. That's your status quo. You are permanently in the light. But as far as your spiritual life is concerned, it may be different. That's what this study is about. Living who you are in Christ. I've said it so many times. That's how we're going to end this study. Who are you in Christ? Well, right here, you know one thing you are in Christ. You're in the light. And when you are living who you are in Christ, people, you are living in the light. So the question is, how do we live in the light? How do we live who we are in Christ? Therefore, point two. The second principle, being in the light, as far as your life experientially, your life day in and day out now, where you're hurting in your marriage, financially, health, all these things. People, there's so many things you can worry about and get stressed out about. We got the war. We got economics. Now they've got this respiratory disease, SUS or something, that's just sweeping, going across the world slowly now. People are dying across the world. Can't figure out how it's passed on yet. And AIDS was going to do it. Now they got this thing that's sweeping across. There's so many things you can worry about. And I just heard more news today on cloning. If you're not through, if you haven't found enough to worry about, just worry about cloning. And America may say it's no cloning in America, but the rest of the world's doing it. People, you've got to just calm down and be who you are in Christ. So secondly, how do we live in this life? How do we live who we are in Christ? And the second principle is being in the light in your life is walking in the power of the Spirit. Walking by faith is walking in the light. It's very similar to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where the freedom of which Christ has set you free. Stand firm in that. How do you do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So your status quo is free and freedom in Christ, but you may live in slavery. You don't have to, but you may. How do you get out of that? Live in the power of the Spirit. Same thing here. You are in the light in Christ permanently, positionally, but you may not be walking. You may be walking in darkness. How do you walk in it? Get into the power of the Spirit. The one who claims he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. So the darkness is the stress, anxiety, depression that we're talking about. Now here's a believer, and maybe you, some of you are listening, who claims to be in the light, claims to be living the Christian life, yet inside the soul, something's going on, hidden in that darkness, hidden to the world, maybe even hidden to you because you're in denial. How do we know this? Because of the next phrase, and yet hates his brother, is in the darkness until now. Most believers who hate another believer, now listen, this may be you, most believers who hate another believer would strongly deny that they hate them. No, I don't hate them. Just want to see them dead. See? Deny. Why? Because you know that's so bad. But once we look at what hatred is, you're going to find out you really do harbor hatred in your soul. And the damage of that hate in your spiritual life is that you're in darkness. And that darkness brings stress, depression. The condition of the soul, hatred. Look at it. Hates his brother, another believer, is in darkness. And people, it's the reason we're dealing with a brother here, because it's easy to hate another believer. The unbeliever, we just sort of set them aside. or they don't really care. But boy, I expect more out of you. You claim to be a Christian, and you're a Christian, and you do this at the church, and you do this, and you did that, and I hate you. It's a habit. It's a characteristic hazard for a Christian in regard to another believer. So he harbors in his soul hatred for his brothers and darkness until now. Darkness, what is that? That's the state of SAD. The state that we were in as unbelievers. Why? Okay, take a look. Why are you there? Hate. Why are you in the darkness? Hatred. Okay, what is hatred? Many, many Christians, maybe even some of you who are harbor hatred, you claim that you are not in hate. You call it something else. But let's be honest. Start the process of tearing down the stronghold of hatred. Now, we got to know what hatred is. Hate is one of those kind of words. Define hate. And just think about hatred for a moment. See, most people have a definition, and then they can say, well, that's not me. But let's find out what hatred is. Now, the first place we're going to go is English. I want to look at Webster. This is a Bible church. A Bible church, words are important. So let's find out what this thing called hatred is. What is it we're harboring in our soul toward another believer so that we can identify it? And I hope that when we go through this, some of you who harbor hatred and didn't even know this was a source of your problems, you're going to say, oh my goodness, I really do hate them. I thought it was righteous indignation. I thought I was right in this. So let's take a look. Webster. Let me read what Webster says. An intense hostility and aversion, A-V-E-R-S-I-O-N, aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury. You're occupied with yourself. Webster goes on, extreme dislike or loathing. To find very distasteful. You feel that way about another Christian people? All the time in your soul, when you see them, you hear their name, and you think about them. Most Christians who claim they do not hate do not associate some of the above attitudes with their hatred, but they are. This is what hatred is, people. Don't deny what words mean. As long as you remain in denial, we're not going to get through this stress, anxiety, depression. You're not going to get out of Satan's lie, and you're not going to tear down the fortress of hatred. But what's important for us is the Greek word. Look at the Greek word, misio, M-I-S-E-O. Now, here are some of the things that the Greek lexicons say of this word. The Greek, biblical Greek dictionaries say about this word, to detest. Do you detest another believer? Oh, I know you have a right to. They sinned against you. They've done something to you. I detest them. They have failed. Well, let us see what Scripture says about your attitude. To detest. Thus, out of the lexicon, with the drive to persecute. You want them to pay. You want to serve as God. You want to serve as God. Continuing. Ill will. Your thought is to do them ill. They need to be straightened out. They need to be taken care of. Ill will in thought, words, and conduct. Continuing. A persecuting spirit. Inside of you is a persecuting spirit. You've got to persecute them. You've got to make them pay. That's what hate is. To detest. To abhor. Continuing, the opposite of love. The opposite of love or loveless. And as we shall see, this is one of the most important things in your spiritual life, why Christians experience that. Now, before I go on, let's see if we can start looking at some things about hate. Let me see if I can make this simple for you. You're not going to remember all of that. You'll remember some of the concepts that I've given you right out of lexicons. But two things I want to kind of get into your mind about hatred. One, actions. The actions. Hate is the absence of love. And here I'm talking about spiritual love. It is the absence of love. Secondly, presence. What is present? What is absent in the attitude and the thought and the mindset of hate? Absence of love. What is present with the mindset of hate? To detest with a drive of persecution. Ill will. A persecuting spirit, detesting, abhorring someone. Now, let's continue. I gave you those, but let's continue lexicons. What I have in my office is about seven or eight different Greek, Hebrew lexicons. And I've really love just living in these lexicons, letting them work, rather than try to force on what a word means and then go to the text, see how the author uses it. So let's continue now and what this word means. The word hesio in the Greek means to dislike strongly, with the implications of aversion, hostility, to detest, personal aversion towards someone. What does aversion mean in the concept of hate? Turning away from someone. Did you hear that? Turning away. Get rid of them. This is hatred, people. What does love do? What does the love of God do? The love of God doesn't turn away from us. The love of God came to us in the form of the cross. That's what the cross is. He didn't hate us and have aversion toward us. He had the presence of love and he came to us. What hate is the absence of this love, and therefore you want to avoid. Turn away. This is hatred. And many Christians deny hate, have this mindset toward other believers. This is why it is so important to know what hate is, so that you'll know what's going on inside of you. Continuing. I didn't make these up. These are out of the lexicon. An attitude of repugnance. R-E-P-U-G-N-A-N-C-E. An attitude of repugnance. A mindset of repugnance toward something or someone, with a desire to avoid or turn from it. This is hatred. And one lexicon says, even with such idioms such as to spit at someone in your heart, to kill in your heart. Hatred is the absence of something. It is the absence of love. Hatred is the presence of something. It is the presence of animosity, hostility, a loathing. Can't stand them. Both of these concepts of hatred will ruin your life and cause stress, anxiety, depression. Never get rid of it as long as you harbor this hate in your soul. People, if you've ever been hated, you know it. You know when you've been hated. You know what hate is. The Greek word describes a mindset. We call it a flesh mindset here, AM, adamic mindset. An adamic mindset. The Greek word describes a conduct, the absence of love, and hate is the exclusion of the other person, getting rid of them, aversion of them. Please understand what this word means and don't be in denial. Where there is hatred in your soul, there's no love. And please put that down in your soul and don't forget this. If there is hatred in your soul, there is no love. Now look at our verse. The one who claims he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. Okay, you claim that you're in the light. That's what you claim. You claim that you are in the Holy Spirit. See, this is the believers in James that James wrote to. What do they claim? See, in James, they claim to be in faith. And James said, I've observed you and your faith is dead. People, you can claim whatever you want. But my question is, why are you experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression if your claim is correct? If your claim is true that you are in faith and you're in love, why is there stress, anxiety, and depression? So let's be careful. Everything we claim is not necessarily true. What they claim in James is not true. What they claim in 1 John is not true. You can claim whatever you want. Here they claim to be in the light. Another way of saying they are in faith from James, or they're in the Holy Spirit. They claim, but the truth is they are just the opposite state of existence. Just the opposite. They're not there. You're lying to yourself. People, don't deny it when you're in this, because it'll just destroy your soul, as we're going to find out. Now, believers claim to be in the light, claim to be in God, claim to be in Christ, claim to be in the Holy Spirit, but in their soul they hate another believer. Husband, wife, family member, someone at work, someone in your social life, someone in the church. And just the mention of their name, or seeing them, hearing about them, and this hate comes up. I don't want to see them. Boy, I wish they'd get theirs. And this type of thing, it just starts eating up in your soul. And there is no love. There is no peace. There is no peace in your soul. The status of this believer is that he is actually not in the light, but is in darkness. And this will help you understand why you have inside of you SAD. Now note the phrase, in darkness until now. When in darkness, the darkness of the soul, which is this wonderful way of describing SAD, and while you're in the darkness of the soul, because if you hate another believer, you resent them. And you may claim you have every right in the world, but no, you don't, because of the work of Christ on the cross. But you have hatred toward another believer. You resent them. You want to stay away from them. You want them to pay. You want them hurt. You have ill will toward them. Oh, you want to call it discipline. Oh, I just want God to come and discipline that. And that makes you feel good. See, you put it in spiritual terms. That isn't true. You hate them. You hate them, and you want to administer the discipline. Your claim doesn't match what's going on in your soul. You want to justify your hatred. People, you can't justify your hatred. Taking care of the cross. Darkness is a perfect word to describe the condition of your mindset. It's a perfect word to describe where you are. Your soul. SAD is darkness of the soul. It's dark, and that's why you're stressed out. It's why you're depressed. It's dark. There's no light. There's no sunlight. It's just dark and gloomy. You're depressed. And right now, what's causing that? Hatred toward another believer. So darkness is a perfect word to describe the condition of your mindset, to describe what's going on in your soul. And that's why SAD resides there. Why do you hate that other believer? There are a multitude of reasons how believers justify their hatred. They have sinned. They have hurt me. They've interfered with my performance. I can't do what I'm supposed to do under Satan's lie. There's just so many reasons. It doesn't matter why, people. There's no justification. That's the point. There's no justification for your hating this believer. Hate the sins, if you wish, but not the believer. Not the believer. Sins of others, listen now, the sins or failures of others often causes great sin, hatred in another believer. See, some other believer may sin or fail in some way, but what happens to you is far worse than what they did to you. Far worse to you is this hate you're carrying around, and yet you claim that you love, you claim that you believe all that happened on the cross. You claim that. You claim you believe in the work of Christ and what he did with sins, but you hate that person for their sins they committed against you. And now you are in probably a far more damaging sin with your hate than the sin that they did. And what's even worse, you say, my hatred is justified. People, your hatred is not justified. I'm sorry. You can call it what you want. You can shroud it in all of your theological terms you want, but there is hate resident in your soul, ill will toward another believer. I've seen it in the church. It is horrible. It is destructive. What does hate do? Hatred becomes a stronghold in the soul. Hatred produces stress, anxiety, depression in your life. Hatred means there's no love. And please remember, I keep using the word hate, but let's go back. It means an aversion, personal aversion towards someone, turning away from someone, even seeking their harm. Make them pay. Give them discipline. And I'll be happy if they hurt. If they lose, I'll be happy. If they lose something in business, if they lose something, I'll be happy. Because they deserve it. They deserve to lose. Now, contrast. What does spiritual love do? Contrast it right now in front of you. What does spiritual love do? What is the impact of spiritual love inside of you? Even when the other believer sins and hurts you, spiritual love, instead of an aversion, seeks their restoration. People, you can lie all you want. You can claim what you want. The fact is, what hate produces in you and what love produces in you. If there is love, instead of aversion, love seeks restoration. Love seeks their good. Hatred seeks their harm. These are contradicting mindsets. One mindset, hatred looks at them, looks at you, and looks at sin. The other mindset, spiritual love, is a mindset on him and his work on the cross. If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression from hatred, here's what your life can and should look like. Look at verse 10. This is what your life should and can look like. Let's just read verse 10. The one who loves his brother. People, now this is a believer who's hurt you, let you down, sin, whatever. The one who loves his brother. And I know you don't want to love them. I know you don't want to love that other believer. They've hurt you, they've sinned, they've done something. This is why it's so important to desire to be in the plan of God, to abide in his love. Stop thinking about that person and what they did. Start thinking about your own relationship with God and with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. Walk in by faith in the Spirit, and he will pour his love in you. And you'll have this love directed toward Christ, directed toward one another. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. Wow. You want to get rid of that stress and depression, the darkness of your soul? Walk in the light. Walk in his love. How do we do that? Love the fruit of the Spirit. Trust him. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. That just sounds good. It sounds right. To abide in light as opposed to darkness. To abide in the light is to abide in his love. That word abide means to live, to walk. This is a place of inner peace instead of hate, instead of stress, anxiety, depression. Now look at the next phrase. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. First of all, let's take the superficial or the top level of understanding. People, if you can see where you're walking, you're not going to stumble. That's what's going on. In the simple analogy. You turn off the lights, even in your own house probably. I don't know about your house. I leave stuff laying everywhere. I get up in the middle of the night, I'll step over some shoes, I'll step over a clothes hanger, I'll step over all kinds of stuff, stumble here and there. But you're in a strange place. You're just walking in life. If it's dark, you're uncertain. Uncertain. You stumble. But there's no cause to stumble if there's a light. I can see. I can see the chair. I can see the ottoman. I can see things on the floor. I can see where the corners of the house are, the doors open or shut. So you're not going to stumble. That's a simple thing to what's going on. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's simply no cause for stumbling in him. Now, people, when do you stumble? We stumble in the dark. We don't see what's there. We stumble over it. People, you stumble when you're walking in the darkness of hatred. You stumble when you're walking in the darkness of hatred. Hatred blinds you as to what's really going on, what's really important. The darkness of hatred means you will stumble over others. Please put that in your mind, it's not in your notes. The darkness of hatred means you will stumble over others. What they do, what they say. Don't allow that. But when you're walking in the light, in the Holy Spirit, abiding in His love, there's no cause for stumbling, no matter what they do, see? You see everything in the light of the cross, in light of His love. There's no cause to stumble no matter what they do or don't do. But the moment you get your eyes on what others are doing, you're back in the darkness and you're going to stumble. So if you desire, if you do not desire SAB in your life, it's possible. How? Walk in His light. Walk in His love. If there is hate in your soul toward another believer, look at verse 11. But the one, this may be you, who hates his brother, another believer, again, husband, wife, family, friends, church, social life, wherever. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness. You can deny it all you want. I don't care how much you deny it. Oh, no, I have righteous indignation. They sin, and I'm right in hating them. No, you're not. You're a liar. You don't understand the truth, and you're in darkness. So let's take a look. Is in the darkness. That's the status. Now, stay with me now, because I'm going to help you understand an important phrase here in a moment that's not part of our study, but a lot of people get confused by it. So let me tell you something. But the one believer, maybe you, hates his brother, another believer, is in the darkness. Now, what's the darkness? The darkness is the status as an unbeliever. Darkness describes the status of an unbeliever. No spiritual life, no love, dead. When you and I accepted Christ as Savior, we were moved out of the darkness into the light. But we may live our lives in the darkness as unbelievers. You do that if you live in hate. So that's what's going on here. And walk, now the word walk here, that's that stumbling. There's a lot of things going on, but we're just going to quickly go. You stumble, you walk in the dark, and you step over things. Walk is an ideal of life. Living each day in and day out with hatred in your soul. Hatred towards some other believer. It affects the way you walk. It affects every day, every area of your life. So don't be in denial. And walk in darkness. That is, he's walking in the flesh. He's out of the Holy Spirit. There's no light. There's no love. Not able to see anything from the light of the cross, and does not know where he's going. That phrase describes some of you, describe your life sometime. Does it seem you do not know where you're going, what's going on in your life? You're so stressed out, depressed, don't know what's going on, don't know where I'm going, don't know what's going to happen. stressed, anxious, uncertain. They're a state of SABY. Well, in this study, there may be hatred inside of you. Hate. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and does not know where he's going. You can't see in the darkness. You can't see spiritually. You can't see according to the cross. You can't see according to love. Why? Look what it says. Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hate's blinded you. You're blinded by hate. You're blinded by it. You'll listen to lies. You'll listen to anybody. You'll stumble. As long as you're in denial about your hatred, you will be in darkness of hate, darkness of the flesh. The perfect word describing your soul, describing sad. It has blinded you. It's blinded you. People, we are to see things that happen to us in life, which includes the sins and failures of ourselves and the sins and failures of others, where? In light of the light of the work of the cross, not in the law. You live by the law, you live by Satan's lie, that's how you'll see it, and you'll be blind. You'll be in darkness. We're to see it by the light of the cross. If you see it by the light of the cross, then you're able to forgive because there's that love. Instead of the presence of hatred, there's love. Instead of sad, there's peace. Now you can restore instead of destroy. Okay, let's look at another passage in 1 John to help us with the stronghold of hate. Please look at verse 14. Verse 14, chapter 3. Chapter 3, 14. See what this says for us. We know that we have passed out of death into life, as from being an unbeliever into Christ, because we love the brethren. Experientially, out of sin into the spirit-filled life, because the Spirit gives life, 2 Corinthians teaches us. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Okay, this is powerful. This is powerful. How do we know if the spirit-filled life works? How do we know if walking by faith in the Spirit works? Simple. Is there hatred in your soul? An aversion, resentment, ill will toward another believer? Do you detest another believer? Do you have an aversion toward them? Then you know that you are not in the Holy Spirit, not in light, not in love. So let's take a look. So we can know. We can know with certainty that we have passed out of death. That's the status of an unbeliever. So we can know, boy, I'm not an unbeliever. Now, when you walk and you're all believer and you live in hate, you're still saved. But look what he's saying is, we can know that we're not. We can know that we're not that unbeliever. We can know that we have passed out of death. And this is important to understanding the last phrase of the next verse. Out of death. That's out of the status of an unbeliever. See, when you hate another believer, you are in the darkness of an unbeliever. Do you understand that? When you, as a believer, hate another believer, you are just like an unbeliever in darkness. No life, no love, no power of the Spirit. And while you're in the darkness of an unbeliever, you're still saved, but you're resembling the darkness and misery of the unbeliever. We know that we have passed out of death of an unbeliever into life, that's of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual life, spiritual love. How do we know? Because we love the brethren. That's how you know. Not because you know Bible doctrine. Unbelievers know Bible doctrine. They can't have this, though. Because we love the brethren, especially those that hurt us. Instead of hate, we love. No matter what they've done, no matter how they've sinned against us. And since you remain in the light of the Spirit, you're able to see all that is going on in the light of His love. Therefore, you're not going to hate. You're going to go to restore. Now look what it says. He who does not love. He who does not love. That is, he who does not abide in, by faith in the light, does not abide in His love. He who does not love abides in death. What's death? State of the unbeliever. State of stress, anxiety, depression. Now we come to something that is so important. So many believers who resent another believer because they have sinned and so on deny that what they are doing is just as bad and may be worse, far more destructive than the sin or failure of that other believer that they hate. Here's what God thinks of your hatred. Verse 15. Here's what's going on in your soul. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You hate a believer, you're a murderer. I have personally seen believers full of hate. The knife is in their eyes, the gun is in their souls, their hearts are full of murder. They were more miserable, this may be you tonight, they were more miserable in their souls than the one they hated. They were filled with more anger, more hate, more resentment, more aversion than the one they hate, than the one that they hate. In denial, and many of these sins, they were and are in denial, still abide in darkness of hate. Hatred of people is difficult to get rid of outside of the light, outside of living in His love. Unless you can actually see that object of your hate suffer miserably for what you hate them for, you're not going to be satisfied, and even then, many are not satisfied. Now pay attention to what it says here. Everyone who hates his brother, one believer hating another, is a murderer. Why are you in the stress of SAD due to hatred? Because you're a murderer in your soul. Oh, not me. Yes, you are. This is the Bible. It's describing what's going on in your soul. Don't deny it. Go to the doctor. Well, you're overweight. Not me. You need to cut back on this or that. No, not me. That can't be me. I can't take care of myself. I'm sorry. Don't be in denial. You're a murderer. No. You have not murdered them physically. You've done it inside of you. Now, here's something very important for you if you're suffering from the stress, anxiety, and depression related to hatred. You may cause the object of your hate a lot of trouble. You may actually hurt them. But you're the one carrying murder in your heart. You have the stronghold of hatred. You're the one being damaged. SAD due to what is in your soul and your mindset. Believer tonight, get rid of this stuff. Abide in the light. Now, what is murder? Let's talk about, so that you'll understand hatred again. Why does he use the word murder? What is murder? Getting rid of them. What have we seen about hatred? An aversion. Turning away from them. Getting away from them. That's why it's called murder here. What does a person do when he murders somebody? I'm getting rid of them. This is when you know that you have hatred in your heart. Hatred. You desire to get rid of them. That's what murder is. That's what you're carrying in your heart. You want to know why you hurt? You're carrying around inside of you this hate, and you're a murderer. Now, while the next phrase is not part of our study, it's caused some confusion, so I just want to touch on it lightly. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Okay, let's note this very quickly. One, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are saved eternally. I want to start with that. Two, when you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, you're in the light. You're in his life experientially and his love. But when you are not walking by faith, you are walking in darkness. That is, you are walking in the darkness of an unbeliever. And in reference to an unbeliever, they do not have eternal life. People, you have eternal life. Don't walk like somebody who doesn't have eternal life. You have it. You have it. Stop living like one who does not have eternal life in them. Stop hating. Live in the life that you have in Christ. Live who you are in Christ. Here's the solution to stress, anxiety, and depression. It's the solution to hatred, the stronghold of hatred. Believe who you are in Christ. Walk who you are in Christ. Live it. Verse 16. Just read it and then we're going to pass on. But it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us when we were his enemies. We could have been the object of his hate, like you hate another believer. But he didn't. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See, in hate, you want to lay their life down. In love, you'll lay your life down. See, most Christians want to lay the life down of somebody they hate. But love says, I'll lay down my life for your restoration. Instead of hate, love them. Instead of murder, forgive them. Restore them. This is your mission. Instead of hate, love. One more passage, 1 John dealing with hatred, chapter 4, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20. If someone claims, I love God. That's what you say, that's what you claim. But the truth is, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Huh? You want to know why you're stressed and depressed when you hate somebody else? Take a look at yourself. You are walking in darkness. You do not even know where you're walking. You are not in life, but dead. These are things we just noted. You are not abiding in love. There is no love in you, no matter what you claim. You are a murderer in your soul, and now you're a liar. And you wonder why you're stressed out and depressed? Look at yourself. You have hatred. Look at yourself. You want to know why I'm stressed out? It's their fault. Blame them. Blame them that I'm all stressed out. Blame them that I have hate. Blame them. It's all their fault. No, it isn't, people. You have chosen to hate instead of love. This is your choice. If you want to know why what's going on inside your soul, take a look right here in Scripture. You are walking in darkness. You don't know where you're going. You are not in spiritual life. You're in bed. You are not abiding in love. You are a murderer. And you're a liar. It's going to add up to making you pretty sad. If someone claims, I love God, you claim that you do love him, but you don't. You know you're to love God, so you have to claim that you do. No, something else is going on in your soul. You can claim whatever you wish, but as soon as you stop claiming false claims about yourself and stay with the truth, you're on your way to letting the Spirit turn down the strongholds of the soul of hate. Someone claims, I love God, hates his brother, is a liar. If you hate another believer, you're a murderer and you're a liar. You're in darkness, not in light, no love. This is not who you are in Christ. You're not a murderer and you're not a liar in Christ. But this is who you are in this state of existence. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God. So, let's acknowledge, this is hate. I've been trying to say this is something else. It's their fault, blaming them. But it's just tearing me down. It's tearing me apart. So let's deal with it. Let's acknowledge it, that it is hate. Let's get back into faith in the Holy Spirit so he can start tearing down this stronghold of hate and build a fortress of love inside of you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, wow. So many people in America experience hatred. So many Christians. And they don't have to. We don't have to. You've made everything, all the provisions, in time for eternity. You replaced it with love, the power of your Spirit. I pray, Father, that if believers experiencing the stronghold of hatred, the seven-headed dragon of hatred, somehow these tapes will get into their hands and they will see what's going on inside of them. And that, Heavenly Father, they'll start living who they are in Christ. Start walking in the light, abiding in your love, so that your Spirit can tear down the stronghold of hatred. Pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.